Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. You know, it's hard for some people to grasp the biblical truth that no one gets to heaven by anything that they do. Good works or a pious life can never atone for sins, not one. It can be a hard pill to swallow. If you read Romans chapter 4, you will read about Abraham, who was justified by faith alone. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. There was nothing that Abraham could do. He simply trusted in the promises of God. Speaker Stephen Harper elaborates on this theme for us today. He directs our attention to three looks that Abraham made that every saved sinner makes. First, an onward look, a look to the future, based on what God says concerning our danger, but also what God says about his many blessings. Second, he took an inward look. He acknowledged his helplessness and his need. And finally, the upward look, his dependence on the promises of God.
Now I would like to turn your attention, please, to one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the New Testament. It's the book of Romans, chapter 4. I know that the book of Romans is quite a technical book in many respects, and yet it is a book that is full of gospel truth. Romans, chapter 4. It begins with a question, verse number 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? So we're going to be thinking just a little bit about the life of Abraham and what it speaks to us about the truth of the gospel, a man who is described as the father of those that believe. In other words, he is a wonderful example of someone who believed God. Now, turn with me, please, a little bit further down in the chapter. We're going to look at verse number 18. It says, concerning Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. That means when everything seemed to be hopeless, Abraham had hope. That's what it means. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed, or it was counted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And we look to the Lord to bless the reading to us from his word. As I've said, Romans is quite a technical book. There's a lot of theology in the book of Romans, but there's a lot of practical teaching in the book of Romans, and there's a lot of simple gospel truth too. So we don't need to be too concerned about the fact that it is theologically a bit technical. There's still a lot in it that simple people like you and I can benefit from. In the book of Romans, Paul is setting out for us the truth of the righteousness of God. Now, in simple terms, that means that he's telling us how people like you and me, how we can be right with God. There really is nothing more important than that. Because if there is a God in heaven, and there is, and if we are his creatures, and we are, then there couldn't be anything more important than a creature being in right relationship with his or her creator. And I very unapologetically say to you that there is no greater issue that you will ever face. There is nothing bigger in your life than being right with God. Because the eternal consequences of not being right with God are far greater and far more serious than you could ever comprehend. And we're going to see this evening that one of the important things that characterized Abraham was that he was a man who lived for the future. He lived in light of the future. And regrettably, we live in a society, in a culture, in a world where people very much live in the present and only for the moment. We need to realize that although society and although our culture and although there's so much pressure on you and I to live in this moment and to let tomorrow look after itself, we need to have a perspective on things that takes account of the fact that you and I are built for eternity. Did you get that? You and I are built for eternity. The Bible tells us about God taking the dust of the ground and modeling a man, modeling Adam, but the man was lifeless. And then the Bible says that having made the man, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The force of that is a never-dying soul, a living breath. You are a living soul. You have to forgive me for sometimes saying you have a soul. You don't really have a soul. That's not strictly speaking correct. More correctly, we should say you are a soul. You see, your body is just the vehicle in which the real you moves around, and the real you will live for eternity. It's very serious, that. Very serious. The real you. The person inside will never be extinguished. The Bible makes it clear that we are built for eternity. So it's important to have a right relationship with God. It's important to be right with our Creator. And so the book of the Romans really tells us how we can be right with the Creator. God has set the terms, and God tells us how we can be right with Him. Don't you think that you can set the terms? How foolish is that? As you think about the vastness of this universe, planet Earth, as a little speck of sand upon which we live, and you and I are tiny little specks, little mites living on a speck of sand. How can you ever hope to set the terms upon which you will deal with the Almighty God? How foolish is that? A tiny little mite living on a tiny little speck of sand, and yet humankind is so proud, so full of their own importance, that we think we can set the terms upon which we'll deal with the Almighty, the Creator God. Foolishness in the extreme. And so the Bible tells us how we can be right with God. The greatness of the love, the grace, the mercy of God, that although we have sinned against Him, He has made a way that we can be right with Him. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that God has moved towards us in love and grace and mercy so that we can be right with Him? And this chapter tells us that Abraham was right with God. It tells us that he wasn't justified. That means to be declared right with God. He wasn't justified with God because of his own merit, his own works. He was justified by grace. It tells us that he wasn't justified. He wasn't right with God because of any family connections that he had. And you'll not be right with God because you're brought up in a Christian home or because of any other connections that you might have. You see, Abraham was justified before God when he was still an uncircumcised Gentile. It wasn't because he was in a certain family. And the Bible also tells us in this chapter that he wasn't justified with God because of any religious observances that he did, because it tells us he was justified by faith. These are important principles. And you see, the fact that he wasn't justified because of any good things that he has done is very, very important, because there are lots of people, good people, who think that they can be right with God because of the good things that they do. They need to learn that their good things will never make them right with God. In fact, when they lift their good things up to God and say, look how good I am, actually that's just pride. And that's a very subtle sin. Elevating oneself before God and saying, look, I'm worthy of your salvation, that's actually a very subtle but a very serious sin. You can't be saved by sinning, can you? And that's what that is. But the other reason it's important is this. There are lots of other people. I've met many, many people who think, if only you knew how wicked I was, if only you knew how black and how dark my life was, there's never any hope of me being right with God because I'm just a poor, vile sinner. But you see, people like that also need to learn that that's not a barrier to being right with God, because the chapter that we read from, there's a lovely verse in here. I'd like you to listen very carefully to this verse because it's a very surprising verse, but it's a very important one. Verse 5 of our chapter says this, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, God doesn't justify good people. He justifies ungodly people. And so that means that people who think they are good and are self-righteous, they need to learn that their goodness will not get them to heaven. And people who think that they are too bad to be saved, they need to learn that that's not an obstacle. God will save ungodly people like them. Because salvation is by grace and it's through faith. That's good news for you and me. That's good news for you and me. That means that there's no one who's so good that they don't need salvation and they can be saved. And there's no one who's so bad that is beyond salvation. Even they can be saved too. We all need salvation and it's all on the same basis. But very quickly this evening, there are three things that I want to identify in this chapter. Because really the verse that's on my mind is verse number 20. It says concerning Abraham that he staggered not, or he did not doubt the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want to think about someone who didn't stagger, who didn't doubt what God said. Because that's the essence of salvation. It's taking God at his word. It's crediting God with truthfulness. And it's crediting God with the ability to do what he says he's going to do and just relying upon that. Here's what happened the night that I got saved. I realized the night that I got saved that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me upon the cross. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thought, what does whosoever believeth in him should not perish mean? And I just simply realized, you know what? What the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross was good enough for God. And if it satisfied God, it ought to satisfy me. And in that moment, I just relied upon what the Lord Jesus had done. And so if you don't like the word believe, or that's a problem for you, or the word trust, and that's a problem for you, put those words to the one side for a moment and just ask yourself this question. Is God reliable? Can you have confidence in what God says? Does he tell lies? Does he have the ability to say what he's going to do? Because this is the essence of what Abraham did. He realized that God doesn't tell lies, and he realized that God is able to do what he said he'll do, and he put those two things together and he said, I'm going to rely upon God. That's it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's the important thing. Have you ever thanked God for saving your soul? You say, well, he hasn't. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? And we think about the fact that the Father is seeking worshippers. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for people to worship him. He's looking for people to give glory to him. If you were going to worship God today, What would you worship God for? I could worship him for the creation. Aye, that's good. I could worship him for the fact that he's sustained me and kept me alive. Aye, that's good too. You could worship him for that. But if you were thinking about the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross, what could you bring to God in worship concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Would you have anything to give to God just to thank him for what Jesus did? You should give some thought to that. Because you see, the moment someone realizes that God is reliable and dependable, the moment someone rests upon what God has done, then all our pride dissolves and all our self-confidence dissolves, and we worship God for salvation because we say, he has done it all. And we give glory to God. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for you to give glory to him, to say, the work was his. The sin was mine, but the work of salvation was his. He's done it all. And that really was the essence of what Abraham did. God made him a promise, and he just said, God's able to keep the promise. Now, I haven't really got to the message that's before me yet, but that's not a problem. Three things I want just to highlight this evening before I finish. It's this. I want to think about three looks that Abraham took. A man of faith, a man who didn't doubt God. Let's think about three directions in which Abraham looked. The first one is an onward look. He's a man who lived in light of the future. God made him a promise. It was a glowing future for Abraham whenever he believed God. And of course, we can think about the fact that we need to live for the future. Don't be foolish and live only for here and now. There is a future, and you need to live in light of the future. It can be a glorious future of bliss and of joy. But remember, the alternative is this. It could be a dreadful future of gloom and darkness. You would take that to heart, wouldn't you? I don't have time to develop it, but Abraham was a man who got a promise from God. The word was, Abraham, get out of the place where you are just now. Get out of this place. And you would need to leave the place where you are, just as Abraham left the place where he was. I mean the spiritual location where you are. You'd need to get out of that place. It's a dangerous place to be. And Abraham got out, and he moved forward, just relying upon what God had said. And then God gave him a promise. God says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I was just enjoying, before I come out to the meeting this evening, God gave him a promise that he would be a father of a nation. And then some time intervened, and then God gave him an additional promise. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. In the meantime, things hadn't gone very well for Abraham. But you see, when God gave the promise, he didn't doubt. He didn't doubt. The onward look. I want to think very briefly about the inward look. Because he took an inward look. And he realized his own weakness. Abraham realized, I don't have within me the strength to make good on the promise that God has given me. The promise was that he would give him a son, and that son, through that son, Abraham would become the father of many nations. But Abraham's now 90 years old, and his wife is 100. And you say, come on, let's get real. There's a problem here. But even in the face of his own weakness, Abraham didn't doubt. He didn't doubt. Sometimes sinners don't get saved because they're too consumed with the problem of their own weakness and they never get beyond. It's good to have an appreciation of your spiritual weakness. It's good to understand that you and I are sinners in the sight of God, and we have nothing to look forward to but the blackness of hell for all eternity without the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we're hopeless. But get beyond that. Get beyond the fact that we are poor, helpless sinners, because the Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for poor, weak sinners. He took an inward look and he realized, I can't meet this need myself. The power to fulfill the promises of God doesn't lie within me. A forward look, an onward look, an inward look. But I'm here to tell you this evening, he took an upward look. And that was what saved him. Because he fixed his eyes upon God. He fixed his eyes upon one that was greater than him and greater than his weakness. He fixed his eyes upon one who was able to meet his need. He fixed his eyes upon one who had the power to do what he said he would do.
And Abraham believed God. And because of that, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, without going into all the gory details, God gave him a sign. He said, I am going to give you a son, and that son, through that son, you will become the father of many nations. But I'm also going to give you a sign, the sign of circumcision. And in very simple terms, the sign of circumcision was this. It was a denial that he had within his own body the power, the ability to bring to pass what God said he was going to do. It was a recognition and an acknowledgement that I am powerless to fulfill the promise of God. And so he performed the sign of circumcision. And he didn't stagger, he didn't doubt, but he was fully persuaded. He put his confidence in God. And the scripture says, it's recorded not just for Abraham's benefit, but it's recorded for our benefit, because we need to follow the example of Abraham, who did not stagger, who did not doubt. And folks, this evening, we've tried to come at it from a whole host of different angles, but it just boils down to this. You need to put your confidence in God. You need to trust him. You need to recognize that I am weak and helpless, but God has made a promise, and I'm going to trust him. I don't know how he's going to do it exactly. I don't understand all the mechanics, but God says, if I trust the Savior, I'll be saved, and I'm simply going to do that. And Paul goes on to say, it was an example because we need to put our trust on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. That's speaking about the cross, and it's speaking about our sin. He was delivered to the cross. He suffered, he bled and died upon the cross because of our sins, delivered for our offenses. Praise God, Paul says, he was raised again for our justification. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day emerged alive from the tomb, from the grave, that was proof that the work was done. It was proof that the debt was paid. It was proof the problem was solved. It was proof that salvation is yours and mine for the taking. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. What are you going to do with that now? There's only one way to be saved. Only one way. You've got to just rely upon what God has done. You've got to get past your own ideas and your own thoughts and your own concerns and anxieties, and simply fix your eyes upon Christ. Take an onward look. Remember that there is an eternity that's before every one of us. Certainly take an inward look and realize that you are powerless to save yourself. But please, I implore upon you this evening, don't finish with the inward look. If you only look within, you'll be lost. But lift your eyes and fix them on Christ. Take that upward look. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Fix your eyes on Christ and you'll be saved.
Yes, we hope that our listeners will take the three looks of Abraham and discover the wonder of God's salvation. Look off unto Jesus, the one who, Paul writes, was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. God is infinitely satisfied with the work of Christ on the cross for sin, so much so that he raised him from the dead as proof of that satisfaction. Are you satisfied with the work of Christ? God is. Trust Christ and rejoice in sins forgiven even today. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you would like some literature that would help you understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at anchorpointradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our Anchor Point website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. Our Anchor Point messages are also available for listening and download at anchorpointradio.com. My name is Glenn Todd. Thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.